Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. I like that song. And it means more and more to me each and every day that I get closer to the Lord. As a young person, I think I liked it because it was a, I suppose you could say, a catchy sort of a tune. But the older you get in the Lord, and let's just say the more abiding you do, the more real it gets that it is wonderful to be a Christian. Let's open in a word of prayer. Lord, it's such an exciting thing to be able to preach the word of God here at camp. And Lord, to be able to proclaim the name of Christ. And Lord, I do want to ask that again, Lord, you'll please just be evidently working, Lord, in the lives of all these teams here tonight. Lord, please just use me in the way that you see fit. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Now, how many of you have heard or even used yourself certain verses, I suppose you could say quoted out of context, that sound a little bit like, well, that's not the question, I'm going to keep going, but how many of you used verses quoted out of context is a good question, but quoted verses that sound a little bit like, if you ask what you want of God, you'll get it. Ask what you want of God and you'll get it. Now, it's because it's based on a real truth. It's based actually upon a promise that God has given. Ask and ye shall receive. Well, this actual promise, there's a few places that it's taught and it's actually said. But in our passage of John in chapter 15, there's actually a statement here that actually proclaims it. John chapter 15 and the end of verse 7, and it says, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. When I was younger, the thing that I wanted most, I suppose you could say, was a motorbike. So I always used to ask for a motorbike. You know those wish chips, a curled up chip? You're not allowed to touch it with your pinky, you peel it out of the thing, and you say, I wish for something. Well, I used to call them prayer chips. I want a motorbike. Yeah. Didn't work. I've never had a motorbike before. But the real truth is that this is a promise from God. The promise from God is, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. But so many promises in God's word are conditional. Conditional promises. There's some promises that are not conditional. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you're a Christian, that's not based upon anything. That's, if you're a Christian, God will never leave you nor forsake you. You will always have him. He is a part of you. The Spirit of God will always reside in you. But this here is a conditional promise. So basically, you have to do something to be able to receive this promise. Conditions. So the two, I suppose you could say, we'll call this answered prayer. Answered prayer. Ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, this is based on or conditional upon two different things. Go to the beginning of verse 7. If ye abide in me. Now, we've touched on that a lot. Abide in the vine, abide in the vine, abide in the vine. It's a very important truth. This morning we saw the other ways that it was said. Walk in the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. But it is very necessary for answered prayer that you abide in the vine. But the other condition that we haven't really looked into very much just yet is that it says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. And my words abide in you. So we're looking at these abiding words from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus' words abiding in you. Now this is putting emphasis on the importance of the word of God's work in a believer in producing obedience. While the abiding is the relationship to the source of the power, the abiding is this way, you abiding in the vine, and the relationship there, these words abiding in you are the obedience that you have to the commands given you. I'm abiding, And am I obeying? It's what the words that the Lord Jesus is giving to you. Abiding, but obeying. Obeying. Obedience to the commands and also to the doctrine that are coming out. So we're talking about the Word of God. The words of the Lord Jesus. It's the words of the Lord Jesus, the Word of God. We already talked in the beginning about how the importance for us to realize that Jesus is God, and everything the Lord Jesus has said and done is not apart from the Father. He only does the will of the Father. So when it says the words of the Lord Jesus, we could actually specifically say these are the words of God, which is our Bible. Now the things we need to understand about the Word of God is, first, you need to know them. You need to know the Word of God. Know the words of God. What are the commands? All right, we'll continue. So I'll go back a little bit. We're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about the Word of God and your obedience to it. First, we need to know the Word of God. What are the commands of God? It's a very important thing. Turn to Proverbs in chapter 2. Keep your finger in Proverbs in chapter 2. We'll look here a few times. It's just straight after Psalms. Psalms is generally the center, or should be the center of your Bible. Psalms, Proverbs, and chapter 2. How do we know the words of God? How can we know the Word of God? In theory, it's simple. In practice, it's probably one of the hardest things Christians find to do. Read it. Read the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 2, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, I like to say receive my words has to do with reading it, hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest for her as silver, and searchest for her as hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. To know God. Find the knowledge of God. It sounds a little bit more than just reading, doesn't it? It's a bit more than just reading the Word of God, because there's many a scholar out there that can read the Word of God and may even know a lot of the Word of God. But it has to do with searching. Searching. It's not just for the pastor to search the Word of God. It's not just for the pastor to study to show themselves approved, the workman who's not ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. It's not just for the pastor to do that. It's for all of us. All stewards, all good stewards would do that, rightly divide the word of truth. So here we can see that it's a necessity for us to know, the Bible by reading and studying it. Second, and we touched on this in our introduction message, we need to believe it. We need to believe what we read. Take it as actual words specifically from God to tell us of how we are to live. And how we are to I suppose you could say, conduct ourselves. We need to believe it. Thirdly, we need to remember them. We need to remember them. It says there in the beginning of Proverbs chapter 2, and hide my commandments with thee. Hiding my commandments with thee. All through Proverbs, Psalms has it there too, talking about hiding God's word in thy heart. There's one in Psalms, I believe 119, if I hide God's word in my heart so I might not sin against thee. I might have quoted that a little bit wrong. But it has to do with memorizing scripture and having it there so that when temptation does come, we've got it on our mind. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are honest, pure, just, there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. It's one of the verses that I go to when I see something I shouldn't be looking at. I go to that memory verse. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's another one I say. It's because they're hidden in my heart and it works through me. It's important for us to know and hide the commandments with thee. And then the fourth point is that we need to obey them. We need to obey the word of God. This right here is all pending on abiding in the vine. It all ties in together. Everything I've talked about the vine, all comes into play, but our need to be abiding, to be studying and diligently seeking the Lord in all the things that we do, abiding in the vine. You see, what we are producing is Christ likeness. This is what we're producing. This is what we're wanting to be happening in our lives. It's our will being conformed to the Lord's will, our own desires, our own way being conformed to the way of the Lord. If we're being honest with ourselves, and in my salvation message the other morning, we'd understand that our ways are not the ways of the Lord. It says that in Isaiah 55 that God's ways are higher than my ways, and God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. There's also a verse that says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Naturally, in our natural state, and even a carnal Christian, a Christian who's not walking with the Lord or abiding in the vine, their way will be the way of their own, and the way will be different to the way and the will of the Lord. How often do I hear, and you can probably say yourselves, do I hear things like, "I want to do this. I want to be this when I grow up. I want to go and do that." My question for you is what is the will of the Lord in your life? What does God want you to do? You may say, "This is where I want to go," but what does God want you to do? If you look in our passage there, it says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will." What ye will. It's now talking about your will. Whatever you want, your will, you'll get. And you know why? It's because your will be so in tune with God's will that it will be the same. You will only be seeking what God wants for your life. You see that? Answered prayer comes from you doing God's will and doing what He wants in your life. Yes, it may be your will, but it is ultimately God's will for your life. Do you believe in a perfect plan? Do you believe in a plan that God may have for your life? If you look at the man Jonah, what a good example of a man who God gave the perfect plan or the perfect will, and yet he disobeyed, and then God made what that we would call a permissive will. There's God's perfect will and God's permissive will. And if we disobey God in the perfect will, through his grace, he allows a permissive will. You look at Jonah's life, okay? So Jonah got told to go to Nineveh. Now, if Jonah went to Nineveh, it would have saved him a lot of traveling around in a few days. But if he went straight to Nineveh, God's desire was for Nineveh to be saved. That's what God's desire was. He could have went straight there. He could have went there with the blessings of the Lord. He wouldn't have went through a lot of the things that he didn't need to go through. Except he didn't. He ran. He went, tried to go the other way. He tried to go the opposite direction. And while he was on the sea, he ended up being thrown overboard and eaten by a whale. Not eaten by a whale, but swallowed by a whale. He ended up going to the depths of, whether you say the depths of the ocean or the depths of despair. And it took him 3 days to cry out to the Lord and say, "Lord, please forgive me, save me." And he got spat out and he ended up in Nineveh. And he ended up preaching to the Ninevites, and they end up repenting and turning from their sin. You see, God's perfect will was to go to Nineveh, but God's permissive will was to take him back to Nineveh, which was his perfect will. But I suppose you could say God's grace, God's grace, God's mercy, and not just God. Ah, I'll be rid of Jonah and use someone else. That's what I see as God's mercy. Now, God always has a perfect will and God has a permissive will in every part of your life. He wants you to be something, to do something great for Him. Whether it is just, well, I shouldn't say just, but whether it is somebody within the church that does the, what we would say, the menial tasks, or whether it is a pastor, somebody up the front, seen by all. Whatever it may be, God has a will for you and you, and He wants, and He has a perfect plan, a perfect will for you. Now, I believe I'm going to use an example, or let's say a testimony from my life about God directing through, let's say, His perfect will and through His permissive will in my life. Turn to Joshua chapter 3. I won't sit on this for very long, as in stay in Joshua for long, in this thought. Now, God never uses His word apart from His will. His word will always, I suppose you could say, lead you into His will. And this passage of Scripture here led me and my wife in a direction that He wanted us to go. God's will for me. I don't know what God's will for me was in the beginning. I honestly think He always... there was always, something there that God wanted me to preach. I knew it. But like I said in my testimony the other night, there was some wayward years where I suppose you could say I just wasted and I didn't, like Jonah. I was away from the Lord. I went the opposite direction. I didn't do what He wanted me to do. But then when I decided to serve the Lord, I was basically saying, all right, Lord, I'll just be that man who's sitting in church every week. I'll be there every week. I'll be faithful. That was my desire. And what happened is God did some pruning. God did some pruning in my life. Now, I started to bear fruit. I actually was serving in the church. But it was just bearing some fruit. I was bearing some fruit. And then God brought something along that really shook us up. And it was losing a baby. It was only 20 weeks along. My wife was only 20 weeks along. And some would say that's silly, but it really affected us. We didn't realize it would, but it did. We were hurt. We were, I suppose you could say, in a place where we were just hurting so bad that I was lying on the couch and I just cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, I've never felt like this before, so low. I said, I need Your help. And from that pruning, and I'm going to call it pruning because of what came out from it, I stood up on the spot there and I started rejoicing. I started going, Lord, You've given me three other kids and the beautiful kids. Now, look, I've got a roof over my head and I've got a good job and my wife, and I've got a good wife. I ran into my wife and said, it's okay, we got three other kids. I was so excited. The Lord had done something within me, and what you call it is the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And I don't know why. I don't understand what really happened. All I did was said, Lord, You need to help me here. And I just poured my heart out to the Lord. And from then, did you know there's some sin that I could not get rid of in my life. There was some sin that I was struggling with, and I tried and tried and tried. And it was hopeless. I thought, well, this is going to be something, the death of me. This is going to be something that's going to continue through my whole life. But from that day onwards, up until today, only through the Lord and by the Lord's strength and His grace, I have not fallen into that sin which I was committing and I was struggling with. That was the Lord. That was the Lord pruning because He wanted to make something bigger and better come out of it. And that's what was happening in my life. And then, so what I started doing was I stopped thinking about what the Lord wants me to do. Because I thought, the Lord wants me to read my Bible every day. The Lord wants me to bring up my children in the right way. The Lord wants me to obey His word. I started looking at what God wanted me to do now. what God wants you to do now. Did you know it's the will of God for you to do something now? When the Word of God is open to you, and you say, "Oh, what's the will of God for my life?" We don't need to look in the Bible to see that it's important to go to church. Is it the will of God for me to go to church today? Let's search the Scriptures. We know that that's a command of the Lord. There's some things that we know to be the will of God, and some things we don't know what the will of God is, and we wait, and we wait while we are serving and being obedient now. And see, this is the thrust of it, is that when I put away the thoughts of what am I going to be, what am I going to do in the future, I really want to do this, this, and this, and this, God actually cut out from underneath me also my opportunity to go ahead in my workforce. It wasn't a bad workforce. It's Bunnings. It's pretty good. But God didn't. I couldn't go ahead. The way was made plain that I couldn't go that way. But what was happening was the Lord, because of obedience right there and then, and because I just said I want to just serve God now, I just want to be obedient, and things just were going well. If you have a look in this passage here, Joshua chapter 3. It says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers of the went through the host." Now just remember, this is 40 years that they were in the wilderness for. All the ones who didn't believe had died out. This is, a new generation. They're sitting there on the side of the Jordan River. And it says, "And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it." So this is the people finally after many, many years, they've been commanded to, "Okay, guys, are you ready? Are you ready to go? What are you doing now? What are you doing?" It says, "Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near to it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore." So they had to be ready. They had to be willing, and they also had to obey down to the exact way that God had commanded them. God will not show you the way that you will go if you are being disobedient now. You will not see the path in which you are to go if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing now. You understand that? They were ready. They were willing. They then had to obey to the specific way of how they had to go across and that. And then it says, "And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will work wonders among you." Sanctify yourselves. You know what sanctify means? If we talk about sanctification, it's a continual purifying process. If we talk about sanctify, it is a purifying process that happens there and then. Now, so right here, they basically got before the Lord and said, "Lord, take away the sin from my life. Forgive me for this, for that." If there was things that they were doing that they shouldn't have been doing, it's talking about getting rid of, purifying, making things right, getting before the Lord with a pure heart. And then it says, "For tomorrow the Lord will work wonders among you." In my life, When I was in this process of just doing what's right, I was just serving God with excitement as well. First time in my life, I was excited about serving the Lord. Something in my life was getting in the way. And I remember sitting down and thinking, "Lord, is this right that I deal with this and get it out of my life?" It wasn't a sin. It was more of a weight. Anyway, one night I said, "All right," it was my television. And I said, "Lord, you know how much this is a struggle to me." And I got rid of it. I said, "I cannot have this anymore." It was exactly a week later that a man, or my pastor actually, came up to me and said, "David, you've been asked, this man will come up and he's going to ask you if you'd like to go down to be the assistant pastor in Mackay." And I was like, "What?" I hadn't even really considered that. It wasn't a thing really in my mindset. It was I'm serving God here, and this is where I am. But I was ready. I was willing. I was obeying where God had put me there and then. I had sanctified one of the things that were just niggling in my life that I was wasting too much time with. And then the Lord started working with showing me the way in which I was to go. And this passage of scripture, I was preaching on it. And as I'm preaching on it, I'm just like, this is happening in my life right now. And it was so exciting because what it came down to, David, are you willing to go? And what did the men do? They had to have faith and step into the water. They had to have faith. You could imagine they had holding the Ark of the Covenant. And as they stepped, you could imagine stepping in the water and the water residing as they stepped in. That's what you call faith. And they stepped out into the water and the water went down and they crossed the Jordan River. And it was because their hearts were right before God. And this is what happened in my life. And I saw my need to go. I knew it was the right thing. And within 6 months, I was gone. And like I said, I didn't have a job at the time. I got a job a month before I got there, but that was a bit... I told my boss I'm leaving before I had a job. So that was a bit bit of a step of faith. But see, the Lord will work in your life and show you your will for your life if you are obeying now. If you are being obedient in what the Lord wants you to do right now. It's a very important... I suppose you could say process, that it seems as though God will not reveal to you more until you get right what you're doing now. And I believe that this is, I suppose you could say, in our passage of scripture here, John in chapter 15. This is what I saw within this passage here. It says, abide in me. So it's talking about getting back to the proper roots. It's saying, let my words abide in you. So allow the word of God to be flowing through you and obey it. And then what will happen is your will change and your mindset will change and what you want will change to be in line with what God wants you to do. And then it says, and then ask what you will and you will receive it. And what will happen is you will basically know what God wants from you in your life. I see it as a very, very exciting thing. And when it happened within my life, it was like something that I've never experienced before, and I knew that God's hand was in this. When I was your age, I never thought that I could ever be something or, let's say, be used of God in such a mighty way. But it came down to simple obedience in what God has for me now. That's where I believe that the start of it was. Simple obedience and what God has for me now. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, it's very exciting when we see the word of God being real in our own lives, Lord. Lord, and I'm asking that you'll please be working in the teens here tonight. Reveal yourself to them. May the Holy Spirit be working and convicting them of their sin and convicting them of their ways. And Lord, may they be bending their ways into the way that you want them to go, Lord. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.